And welcome, friends, to this, the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting right here from our studios, and we'll be live with you for the next hour. And our studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome, friends, to the Tuesday edition of our broadcast. Good to be with you, and looking forward today to our broadcast as we are developing this great theme all week long in the Grace Hour, PowerPoints from the Parables. And today's parable is the wheat and the tares. And we'll look at that together, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. That'll be coming up momentarily, and we'll talk about some of those great principles and really power points, hopefully some points that we will be able to derive some power from as it contributes to our daily walk of faith. And we want to remind you, of course, that following today's message, we'll open the phone lines, your opportunity to join us live and on the air with your comments, your questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and your prayer requests. And again, we want to remind our listeners that, well, next Monday, which is April 4th, we will be beginning our broadcast at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the Grace Hour broadcast will be coming to you live beginning April 4th. And again, on into the future, each and every morning at 11 a.m. We're excited to be able to start earlier in the day, and we hope that many of you will still be able to stay with us. We know it's a change in our schedule, and we know it's a change in yours as well. But we hope that many of you will still be able to join us live. And for those of you that are unable to join us live, don't forget you can catch up with us later and archive the Grace Hour on that particular day. And following today's message, of course, we will again open those phone lines. Here are the numbers, 800-338-7060. That's toll free in all of North America, Canada, and the United States. And locally in the Baltimore area, friends, you can join us by dialing 410-483-3700. And again, we're looking forward to having many of you join us when those phone lines are open. We do want to mention once again, and we will continue to do so right up until the start of this year's Easter play, that it is coming up quite quickly. Again, coming Friday, we'll begin the first day of April. And on April 12th, which is a Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., we will have the first presentation of our Easter play, the annual Easter play that takes place here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. This year's play is entitled, One Decision Will Change Your Life. Again, it's the story of Christ. It's the Easter story, and you won't want to miss it. Again, the first night that the play is available will be Tuesday, April 12th. And then, of course, the following evening, Wednesday night, we'll have our weekly service here in our chapel, and then April 14th, 15th, and 16th, which is a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, each and every night at 7 p.m. Again, our Easter play will take place live in our chapel, and you're invited to join us. And we want you to take advantage of that opportunity, not only for you and your family to come, but perhaps people that you know, friends, co-workers, neighbors, people that you have been maybe sharing the gospel with and haven't yet seen any fruit from that. Well, perhaps by bringing them to the Easter play, that could just seal the deal, so to speak, and give them an opportunity to receive Christ. For at the end of each of these performances, there will be an invitation to trust Christ in a personal way. That's all coming up. Again, beginning April 12th, the first performance of Tuesday night, then the 14th, 15th, and 16th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, all happening at 7 p.m. There is no charge, friends. We do encourage you to come early. Get a great seat for each and every one of those performances coming up in the month of April as we begin to go down that road as we celebrate Easter, the fact that Christ laid down his life on Good Friday and God raised him again from the dead. Well, today's parable on our Grace Hour this Tuesday is the wheat and the tares. And I'm going to read it to you from Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. And another parable he put forth to his disciples, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy hath done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" He said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First, gather together the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" I think, friends, as we begin to look at this parable together, the first thought that comes to my mind is we see opposition to God's kingdom, something that we understand has always happened and continues to happen even at this present hour. We know that the devil cannot uproot the wheat, the true believers that God has placed in his kingdom. So here in this parable, what does he do but works as the great imitator, the counterfeiter, which he has always seemed to have done throughout his history, both early in the Old Testament and then again in the church age. What does he do but plants false Christians, encourages a false growth, and introduces, in many cases, false doctrine? But in this parable, unlike the previous one that Jesus had spoken about, the parable of the sower and the seed, the good ground here represents those who are truly saved, truly converted. And how did that happen? But by trusting Christ in a personal way, trusting the promises of God, trusting his word. The field that's mentioned in verse 24, that's the world, because we know that God has sown true believers throughout the world, and he places them, again, throughout the world for that purpose of bringing forth fruit unto God. But it does make sense that wherever Christ sows a true Christian, you can almost sense that the devil is prepared to sow a false, a counterfeit Christian. We know this from other portions in Scripture. We read about counterfeit Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Paul spoke about them, who believe in a counterfeit gospel. We read about that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. There's even a counterfeit righteousness in Romans, the 10th chapter, in verses 1 through 3. And think about this. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, there's even talk of a counterfeit church, those who proclaim that they are believing, but God says they are not. So again, at the end of the age, this will culminate in what the Bible says, how the devil will be so active that he will produce a counterfeit Christ, a false Christ, the Antichrist, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. All of this is happening. Again, we can see it happening in the present church age. And what's our responsibility? Well, this all happened in verse 25, while men slept. I think as we read that portion, we can be reminded of the fact that it is so important for us to stay alert, to stay spiritually quickened, spiritually awake. Don't become dull of hearing. Don't become apathetic. Don't become dulled, but keep your heart on fire. Again, continue to allow the Word of God to fill your heart and fill your mind. Stay in a place where your heart is on fire, because that's our responsibility, to stay awake. Because think about it, when God's people sleep, that's when the devil goes to work. Is it any wonder in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul writes to that church, and he reminds them to stay awake. Oh, and he even said there are some that are sleeping. So awake, you who sleep. Rise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See then that you walk accurately, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Keep redeeming the time, because these are evil days. And don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How important is it for us to stay spiritually alert, quickened, discerning in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6? Because again, as this continues to happen, and as believers slip into some form of slumber, spiritually speaking, that's when the devil really goes to work. And I like the fact that Jesus said in this parable that our task is not to pull up that which is false. In other words, God hasn't called us to be detectives, spiritual police, finding out who really is of God and who really isn't. But he tells us, just keep planting the truth. Again, we're not called to be detectives. We're called to be evangelists. Keep sharing Christ with others. Now, some would say, well, how will I know for certain who is truly of God and who is not of God? Well, we may be able to discern that. God will give us the spirit of discernment. But even if we can't, we don't have to become occupied with ridding the church of all that is false, all that is untrue. We just need to be occupied with the truth, proclaiming the truth, spreading the seed of the gospel, allowing God to, again, through his spirit, let that seed take root in men's hearts, and then see a harvest of souls come forth to the glory of God. So this is a fascinating parable that Jesus spoke of, and there's so many principles that we can look at and develop together, and then, of course, talk about. And we're going to invite you, of course, into the conversation in just a couple of moments. You know the numbers, friends, 800-338-7060. Again, that is the toll-free number in all of North America. The local number is 410-483-3700. And again, we're talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares. Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon. Those phone lines are open for those of you that have the opportunity to get to the phone and to reach us live on the broadcast, which, of course, we always encourage you to do, because we'd love to hear your thoughts about this particular parable and this particular subject. There's no question about the fact that the opposition that we sense in the kingdom of darkness is a real opposition, and the devil would love nothing more than to, again, plant these false believers or false Christians, encourage their false growth, and to even allow them to introduce false doctrine. It's something that the church has had to guard against throughout its history. And again, as we're occupied with Christ and we're occupied with the Great Commission, and as we continue to sow the seed of truth in men and women's hearts, even though the devil is about the business of counterfeiting and imitating, we know one thing for certain, that God will bring forth fruit. As we heard yesterday's broadcast, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, even some 100-fold. And we're greatly, greatly encouraged by that truth. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and we do want you to know that at any time you'd like to join us, just dial one of those numbers and we'll get you live on this Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. Pastor Schaller's joined us in the studio, and we're going to continue our discussion right now.
Boy, that was a good message, Pastor Love. You really covered it really well from A to Z. And maybe just to break it down a little bit more, you have a decoy. Well, you have a duck that's a living duck, and then you have a wooden one that looks like it, you know, the same color, same form, everything floating in the water. Everything about it is the same, except one is alive and one is dead. So you can see how counterfeit money, you know, everything about it is the same, except it's not the real thing. And of course, do you know what the difference is when you looked at a wheat and a tare?
I don't.
Okay. I've been told that they look the same, except when it's time to harvest, the grain isn't there on the tare. you know, the grain isn't there. It's the plant is very similar to the wheat plant, you know, very similar in its construction, very similar in its, but it just isn't a wheat plant, you know. It doesn't have the grain. So the difference between appearance of the believer, the one that says, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and did many wonderful works in your name? And he says, I never knew you. So I would say the mark of the believer is love. The love for God, the love for others, love. And that really the devil can plant a believer, who isn't a born-again believer, but he has many similar characteristics, except there just isn't that love there. Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit is love.
I totally agree. The puzzling thing is a lot of believers get stuck on this. They're troubled at the fact that there could be the counterfeit or the false mixed in and mingled with the true, and it troubles them. And I think a lot of believers, they just have this idea like, well, then I need to know who they are, and I need to, you know, separate them. And yet that's the one thing that they're warned in that parable not to do, because we could get caught up in that. We could start to play the role of the spiritual detective, and it's our responsibility to discover the true from the false. But that's not what the Lord would have us to do, is it?
Yeah, maybe it just isn't our place to judge. We know the principle that there can be false brethren amongst us. Galatians chapter 2, Paul used that phrase to define that there were people that were very much occupied with the rite of circumcision amongst the newborn Gentile Christians, and that there were false brethren crept in unawares, like unbeknownst to others. And basically, you know, what is that to us? What is the chaff to the wheat? Is a Bible principle. Like, what is a lie to the truth? Like, it doesn't hold up. Like, just tell the truth, and that the light will expose the darkness, or the truth will expose the lie.
It's kind of like the bank tellers, how they're instructed to discern between the counterfeit and the real bills.
Yeah.
They don't take courses, and they don't inundate them and give them an understanding of what a counterfeit bill looks like, but they get them so acclimated to what a real bill is, the authentic bill, that when, well, they're so used to seeing the real thing that when a counterfeit shows up, they can spot it almost immediately.
Yeah.
I think you could say the same thing about us as believers in God's kingdom. Let's stay occupied with the truth.
Right. I heard of a hotel cashier. He took the job, and in his training, they brought him downstairs to with a lot of cash, and he just spent 8 hours counting the bills over and over again and handling the bills. And the whole idea was he would feel the money, he would smell the money, he would sense like the money as it really is. That was his training to detect counterfeit bills. So when you are living in the reality of Christ, when you are with the people of Christ, when you're speaking the words of Christ, you're living in the Spirit of Christ, then you really get familiar with that in a good way and then can detect the lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That makes sense. It actually happened to me. I sold my car, used car, out in the parking lot here of the church for $3,800. The man said, I want it. He went to the bank. He said, I'll be right back in 10 minutes. He came back with the cash, and the money seemed to me to be like wrong, like counterfeit money or something. It was brand new $100 bills from the bank. So I said, I sent somebody into the church office. So the church office has some kind of I don't know if it's a machine or what, that to check. I go, could you go with this gentleman into the church office and count this money? And I didn't say it, but I was thinking, like, it doesn't seem right to me. You know, did you just take this from your printing press in your cellar? You know, what is this, real money or what? And they came out and said it was. So.
Praise God.
But it didn't seem like it to me. It's like, yeah, you know, so anyway.
I had an experience like that, too, a couple of years ago. You know,
you did?
Yeah. Someone gave me, I was at Madison Square Garden. We were there. We did the chapel service. A friend called and said, I can't make it to the game. I have these tickets. Do you want them? And I said, sure. I just sit in his seats. But I was with a couple of people, and they were like, no, we're fine where we are. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to waste these tickets. I take them outside, not to scalp them, but to just to, you know, get something.
Pick up a little bit of gas money.
Exactly, yeah. Just get something.
Pocket money?
Yeah. I mean, the tickets were...
You can't turn a good deal
you
down.
Yeah, I mean, the ticket prices, it was an outrage. Yeah, the ticket price on the ticket, $275 each. And I said, sure, whatever you want to give me, a couple of $100 for both tickets. Yeah. Oh, great, what a deal. And I remember this, you know, of course, he was a scalper. I understood that.
Oh, he was a criminal.
Yeah, yes. And so he brought me into the you know, like a little conclave of a restaurant. It was kind of, it wasn't very light.
Shady.
Shady indeed. And said, here. And I can remember taking it and just feeling it and thinking, nah, but I didn't give it another thought. Wanted to get right back inside. Afterward, I looked at them and I said, they just don't look right.
No, they don't.
The next day I went to the bank and, you know, asked the teller, are these counterfeit bills? And almost immediately she looked at them and said, yes, they are. And she said, you know, and I'm sorry, I can't give them back. I says, well, I don't want them. She said, I'm sorry for your loss. I said, no loss. Yeah. It was no loss.
Okay.
But I did see that same that same scalper some weeks later.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and he came up to me, and I was outside of Madison Square Garden. He says, well, do you have any tickets? I says, we will never do business again.
You know, oh, really?
Yeah. I said, we're done.
You told him?
I told him. I says, you gave...
Did he admit it or no?
No, he just walked away.
Oh, I see.
Very briskly. He was a counterfeit. You know, he was passing off counterfeit bills.
Oh.
So it's happened to me. And they're different. You just sense something about them.
Yeah, I felt that way about these bills. But they... So, weed and tariffs.
Yeah.
Well, what...
Yeah.
Who told the parable?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Did. Yeah.
And
yeah.
And the lies came in the night when
while they
were
slept.
Sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah. Darkness. Mm-hmm. You know.
And then the fascinating thing is he has left us in a world where we have the counterfeits, we have the lies. He has left us in the world where you have the deceitfulness of man and the hearts of man. I mean, Pastor Love, your observations in life regarding man being able to trick or deceive, would you like to embellish that a little
bit?
Well,
it's real.
From your vast experience?
It's not only experience, you know, from in dealing with other people.
But from myself.
It comes from my own heart. It's you know, it's there. And I mean, you mentioned something recently in the message, how a young person, maybe 12, 14, 16 years old, can
learn
how to deceive, learn how to lie, learn how to cheat.
Yeah.
And that's in all of us.
Yes.
It exists. So you don't have to look for it in a fallen race. You just have to look in a mirror.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yes.
You see it.
Yeah, and then you've got a group, you know, the group. You know, what was interesting about that Oscar award-winning actor who slapped the comedian I think it's all over, you know, the news, and everybody knows about it, is that the comedian could tell jokes about somebody's misfortune or health condition, telling a joke and everybody laughing. And then the other side of it is the offended party, and in this case, the wife and her husband. Her husband gives up and slaps the comedian. And it's like, oh, like, whoa, what do you mean? Like, what that means that it's written in the hearts of men, like a moral law, and there's a violation of it and a reaction. There's somebody that's been hurt or offended by you, but you're supported by your group. Everybody's laughing at the joke. But then somebody shows up and says, shame on you. You're offending me and my wife, and shame on you. And there's the... So what I mean is that I think when you have tears, they kind of all kind of look alike and relate and reinforce the lie. They reinforce the lie, like a comedian could get a whole audience laughing with him at somebody else's demise. You could get a whole group of people around you that are saying the same thing, but actually underneath it and in the heart, there's a lie. And when Jesus came into the world, he made us a new generation, another kind of people that loves the truth. And we can't lie. You know, we can't lie. It contradicts our nature. We can't lie. That's why we can't say a little boy is a little girl. We can't do it. It contradicts our nature. We can't go along with your joke. I can't laugh at your joke. I can't do that, you know. The many expressions of this, I think, tears are in the world, and it means it's the phony or the fake version. But when you have the reality, you have Daniel in the lion's den, you have the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, you have Christ in the midst of the Pharisees, you have the disciples in Jerusalem at Pentecost. And every one of those instances is a testimony of the reality. And the phony plant can't do what the real plant can do. Mm. And the people that are reinforcing each other in a lie, one day it'll show up. What is it? Truth will be putting its boots on while a lie is going around the world. While the truth, and remember the Battle Hymn of the Republic? The truth keeps marching on, yeah, or how does it go?
That's it. No, the truth keeps marching on.
Yeah, truth keeps marching on. I mean, you can't deny the truth. Second Corinthians 13:8, I believe, you can do nothing against the truth.
What a shocking day that's going to be when, well, you know, the Jesus said, just when harvest time comes.
Yeah.
That's Ooh. When, you know, wow. The truth of the matter will all be revealed. And and I guess we have to ask ourselves this question. Can we wait? Can we be patient for that? It's almost like Jesus is saying to us, take your hands off it. It's not your concern. Your concern is to plant that which is true, preach the gospel, reach people for Christ. I'm so glad he said that, because how easy it would be for us, because that nature, that old sinful nature, is just prone to examine other people, prone to pass judgment on other people. We would relish that opportunity, but he says, stay away from that. Don't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
Be occupied with planting the truth in people's lives.
Oh, good. Yeah, ministry.
Yeah.
Love, forgiveness. I'm not a judge, but I move on. If you are living in a lie, that's your business. Not mine. I'm not going to do that. You can lie. I don't want to lie. I'll have a love for the truth. And that's how we live.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do not compromise with it, cannot tolerate it, but we live in the midst of it. We tolerate it in the sense that we are living in the midst of it, but it doesn't eat into us, but we are not embracing it. Another biblical text that comes to my mind is at the white throne judgment, it says, heaven and earth flee away, and there is no place for them, but they stand before the throne of God, and they find no place. Earlier in the book, it's Revelation 6, it says, they said, let the rocks and the stones fall upon us. We will hide the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Translation, where can we stand? Where can we go? How can we hide from him? How can a tare endure the day of that harvest? Where can I go if I've been believing a lie? For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There isn't any place to go. There's nowhere to stand. That day has come. So there is a very, you know, the ultimate, you know, end is for the tare, there's no place to go.
A sobering thought. And this whole business of Satan imitating and counterfeiting, one area that we see him so effective in is this business of a counterfeit righteousness of unbelieving men, you know, those that are not trusting Christ for their righteousness, but believe that somehow they'll be able to produce a righteousness of their own. And they wholeheartedly believe that their efforts, their works, their good deeds are somehow, it's all going to be or find its way into acceptance before God.
Okay.
What a counterfeit that is in our culture today.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil is the one who propagates it. You don't need the cross. You don't need a savior. You don't need a messiah. You don't need the resurrection. You don't need the Bible. You can have it all and get to the same goal that the Christian gets to, but you don't need Christ to get there.
Well, yeah, how your question, your point is very good. How can I come to that place where I acknowledge my need? There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. There, I don't get it. I, you know, we're just left to myself. The proud he resists. He allows them to live in the deceitfulness of their own hearts and to believe a lie. There's a very enlightening verse, Isaiah 44:20. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver his soul, nor can he say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So let's say I'm holding in my right hand. Let's say just a lie, but let's just say a disease, infection. I'm holding in my right hand poison. I'm holding in my right hand something dangerous, something totally wrong. I hold in my right hand betrayal or deceit. I hold in my right hand a lie, but I can't say there is a lie in my right hand. Could you explain that, Pastor?
That's deceit, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know it.
Yeah.
I guess, have you ever, I had a hole in my sweater on the back of my shoulder, and I didn't know it. Mm. And then somebody said, hey, you have a hole in your sweater. No, I don't think so. Yeah, took the sweater off, and there it was.
Sure enough, it was there.
What? So, what's the meaning of that?
There are some things that we can't see that God has to show us. And if he doesn't, then we'll continue to think that the sweater is fine.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to wear it, and the hole will only get bigger, right?
Yeah. If there's a lie in my right hand, all I have to do is bring my right hand in front of my face, look at it, and recognize it as a lie. But I don't see that. I don't see that as a lie. So we have a problem, you know. We have a problem. I don't have the means to recognize the lie. So I continue in my family lie, in my family tradition, in what my grandfather believed, my father believed, and that what I believe, I'm believing in a lie, and I can't tell the difference.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it happens. Let's go to the phones. And by the way, friends, you can join us. Those lines are open, 800-338-7060. That's toll free in all of North America. So give us a call. And if you're listening locally in the greater Baltimore area, you would dial 410-483-3700. Pastor Bailey Norman joining us from up in Marlborough, Massachusetts. Pastor Bailey, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Good to hear you guys.
Yeah, good to hear you, Pastor.
I was enjoying the conversation there. I forgot I was on the phone to be on air.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, what a time we live in where the deception is everywhere, and it's how do we see it otherwise? I like the illustration. How, you know, there's a hole in your sweater. No, there isn't. But there is, and how do we tell people, and how do we lovingly tell people? But we preach Christ.
Mm.
And what a privilege to have a simple message for an interesting time. To lift up Christ, and he's the one that draws people. He's the one that saves people. He just needs us to lift them up.
Amen.
Yeah. What a privilege.
You're going to be hosting the conference this week to do just that, right?
Yeah, I wanted to invite everyone up. I know a lot of guys from the Northeast are coming out. We're having our Northeast conference, and just wanted to invite anybody who's in the New England, New York area. We're going to be meeting Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning for church. So if anybody has any questions, you can call us at 508-460-1541. But that's what we're doing, trying to get all the churches in the Northeast together and just say, hey, we're here in this time with these people, and I think God has a purpose for us, and we can make a difference. So
excellent.
We're excited.
From Baltimore, I'm coming up, and I think there's a van, a couple cars, 10 people, Bible college students, Jesse Fires, a group of young people coming up to Marlboro. I'll be there in the morning on Saturday. I'll be up there Friday night, actually, and then Saturday morning, right? We have something at 10 o'clock or?
Yeah, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. We'll get it started.
Okay.
And then we have a pastor's meeting at 11, and then outreach in the afternoon, and then a meeting in the evening.
Excellent. So, excellent.
Yeah, there's time for everybody. I know Malta's coming out, Dover Plains, Utica, New York, a bunch of the churches up in Maine. So it'll be a great time. Peabody, Mass.
Peabody,
Mass, Berkshire.
Yes. Very good.
So, yeah, I'm excited just to be together. We'll pray together. Speak about this exact thing. But here we are. So
yeah, very good. Yes, we must contend for the faith. Jude 4. There is the departing from the reality. We have found the reality in Christ. We found the Holy Spirit ministering to us and building us up in the faith, and the humility and the fruit of the Spirit. The love is the evidence, and how much we love the Word, how much we love each other, It really is good fruit. It really is. It's awesome. We'll have pastors. Our time in Poland, Pastor Bailey, was really a good time. Pastor Love was there. We had a group, a very good group, maybe 500 people or so. And we had pastors meetings. You know how the Spirit shows you something or speaks, and it builds you up. It just is what it is. It's just awesome. And I think this weekend will be just a reflection of that, you know, the freshness of God ministering to our hearts and leading us.
I'm going to give that number again. Pastor Bailey, I'll give that number again, 508-460-1541. They can contact you for any more additional information. But Saturday a.m., outreach in the afternoon, and then Saturday evening. And then I would imagine you'd have a pretty good group that will be staying and joining you for your Sunday morning service.
Yeah. I know the Bible College crew is coming up, and then I believe the church in Peabody is going to come out on Sunday morning and join us. So
wow, that's exciting.
I think we're trying to build a balcony in the church right now. I don't know who's going to want to sit up there, but we'll see.
Hopefully
we'll
you'll get it done in time.
Orange crates.
That's it.
That's exciting.
Yeah, really,
so that's the Northeast Conference beginning this Saturday morning. So, friends, if you're in the area, try to make it out. Sounds like it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so. Very good.
Thanks,
all right,
Pastor
we'll
Bailey.
See you on Saturday.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
God bless. Those phone lines are open. You can join us at 800-338-7060 and that local number 410-483-3700. This counterfeiting program on the part of the devil just seems to continue and will culminate at the end of the age when Antichrist appears on the scene.
Yeah.
And you have a counterfeit Messiah.
He's very good at it. I mean, the world is in a counterfeit place. I remember a couple of years ago, Pastor Ben said that the devil is an orphan. He had God as his father, and that relationship ended. Lucifer was cast out of heaven, came to the earth, and his whole agenda is to make us orphans, though we are made in the image of God, but he would like us alienated from God forever. And this counterfeit world, the civilization of man or civilizations of men have just occupied the hearts and minds of men without God or with the wrong God. And these civilizations are really an entrapment. And what is valuable, highly esteemed in the eyes of men, is really an abomination before God, which is another way of saying that the world entraps people in false purposes and false methods and false tools, you know, like the counterfeit, the live your life for yourself, pass into eternity and go to hell. Mm. That's the lie of the world, is to that man is at the center. But the reality is that God is at the center. We are made to glorify him, and that's what we have found, and it's very satisfying.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Let's go out to Las Vegas, Nevada. Pastor John Perkins is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Pastor Perkins, welcome. Haven't heard from you for a while.
Vegas, we're listening to you.
Hey, man.
We're watching you on the big screen at church with my friend Rick and also Philip.
Rick.
And these guys are on fire.
Are they tares or wheat?
That's a great question.
I think you're too slow in answering.
Yeah, there's too much hesitation there, Pastor Perkins.
Phil, Rick, I'd be disappointed.
Just just a comment about that, you know, scenario in the parable. You know, three things I was thinking of is that, first, it requires patience. You have to wait, you know, when you're, and also there's work involved, you know, like you have to, you have to be in the field. And then also the other thing I was thinking of is that the circumstances are out of our control. Weather's out of our control. You know, animals are out of our control. And then also tares are out of our control. So, you know, as pastoring or as a believer, we have to have patience. We have to have a mindset to be, you know, a laborer, co-laborer with Christ. And then also just to, you know, tend the crops, but, you know, the circumstances are out of our control in that way. And then we have to be patient. So that's just a few thoughts on that.
Those are good thoughts, very good thoughts. And Pastor Perkins, I like what you said, that the patience part, because when this happens, you know, when tares are maybe revealed or found out to be in a local church, an assembly somewhere, you know, that can be troubling for some people. But for the pastor, he just realizes, no, this happens. This happens in all churches. This happens everywhere. This happens in the field, Jesus taught, which is the world. So we're not to get discouraged. We don't get occupied with it. We just stay patient, continue to plant the truth, build people up, continue our work in the ministry, because these are circumstances, like you said, they're out of our control.
I also think, like, if we try to separate them, it will cause more damage than it would be for good. And maybe we would not be as discerning and maybe uproot wheat with it.
Exactly.
And, you know, so just thinking about that.
We're kind of known for messing things up.
Exactly. So in our church, we're called the Rough Cut Greater Grace, but we're connected to the right, you know, we're connected to the beam, the cornerstone. So we're a little rough, but we're cut, we're connected. So I just want to give you a little update on what's going on out here. We've had a new influx of new people, and it's just been such a huge blessing. They come in, and they're humble, and they love God, and they just want to help. And we've just been having a small revival here. It's a huge blessing. We have outreach going. We have a food bank. We have a worship team. So I just wanted to tell you, Pastor Schaller, and just say that we love you.
Wow. It is so good to hear that. I honestly think it is a new season. I think, you know, we have had 2 years of COVID, more. There's a war going on in Europe. There's like a shaking, and I think people are a lot of people are searching, and their world is shaken. And I just heard a great testimony this morning about a woman with her neighbor. Her neighbor found Christ, and the story is amazing. How this happened, and I just think that it's maybe the sign of the times right now. People turning to Christ, even on their own, just turning to Christ. And when they meet you in Las Vegas as the pastor of the church, and you have a message, and you are caring about people, you are the reality, then you're going to have people like Rick and Phil, the guys that are with you right now in the room, and others, new ones coming. And you're going to have body life, and you're going to have faith and encouragement, and you're going to be able to lead and guide them in love and kindness and in wisdom. And the Holy Spirit is doing it.
Amen. One of the new guys said, Pastor Perkins, you're so optimistic and and happy. And I said, yeah, I am, because of you and the new, and just this new, what's happening in our church. I'm just so happy. And I think like 11 years here and just being patient, waiting on God, you know, just sticking to what God has called us to do, and just be patient. And God just is bringing in His Holy Spirit and just anointing and joy. And so just wanted to communicate that with you guys, and just thank you.
Wow. Revival in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Keep it up. Praise God. Thanks, Pastor.
Talk to you later. Bye. Oh,
all right. Well, as he was sharing that, Pastor Schaller, while we were in Europe for Eurocon, Pastor Maciek, who hosted the conference, said that in 2 years of the COVID virus in Warsaw, Poland, he said at the end of it, he says their church doubled.
Oh.
How's that possible?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah. I think also I was in talking to some brothers in Europe, and they were saying, you know, we feel it's like a different time. It's like in the 90s, maybe. It's in the 90s, you know, the communism ended, the Eastern Europe opened up, we walked into that, and we found it was exciting, and God was saving people and working His work. And maybe now the same feeling is happening.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And we knew, even in the midst of the pandemic, we knew that God was still very active and doing His work, and we just needed to, you know, stay the course, remain patient, continue to do what we were able to do, and we're seeing, reflecting back on it now, we're seeing how God, you know, He did that which we could never do, as He always does through His Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great reports. A couple of minutes left in the broadcast, friends. We still have time to hear from you, so if you'd like to get to your phone and give us a call at 410-483-3700, it'd be a pleasure to hear from you as we wrap up today's PowerPoints on the parable of the wheat and the tares.
Yeah, you know, there is that shocking story where Jesus said that the man in the judgment will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. So how close can that tear be to, you know, like to the tear, like I've done many wonderful works in your name and so on, you know, but still it's a tear. So yeah, I never knew you. It'd be shocking to hear that at the judgment. And that's one sentence I never want to hear said to me. So what would you say, Pastor Love, would be comforting or instructive for the people to hear regarding that?
I think you have to focus on His words that Christ said, which was, we never had a relationship. I think that's the question everybody has to ask themselves. Am I involved in some kind of a religious program? Am I attempting to produce a righteousness of my own? Or do I have a relationship with Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have that relationship with Christ without being born of the Spirit. It takes a new heart. You need a new nature. The old nature doesn't cut it. The old nature cannot even understand, know, or enter into God's kingdom. It takes a relationship with Christ, and that's the starting point. And if you've never had that as a starting point, you might hear those words unless you, again, enter into a relationship with Him.
And how do you do that?
You believe on Christ and in a personal way, and you ask Him, you know, you invite Him to come into your heart to save you. You believe that when He died on the cross, He, again, payment in full for your sins. You accept that forgiveness. You receive the gift of eternal life. And then after that, I would encourage anyone who made that decision to step into a local assembly where you can be taught the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can grow. Your faith can grow. And you'll be able to bring forth fruit unto God and realize that God has a purpose not only to save you, but then your purpose beyond God saving you is that he's called you to serve in some measure and in some capacity in his kingdom.
And in the history of the ministry, Pastor Love, have you ever met somebody that you could say, you know, you're not a judge, but on the basis of your wisdom, your discernment, you could say that that person, I don't think they've ever been really born again.
Yeah. And it can be troubling if you just keep, you know, wrestling with it, looking at it, analyzing it, trying to figure out how it happened. You just have to, I think as Pastor Perkins just shared, you just have to be patient. Mm. You just have to wait. Because, you know, I think the most troubling part of that sometimes is that you think to yourself, why didn't I recognize it? Why didn't I realize it? They were in our presence for, in some cases, years. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that people could be in the presence of a church imitating Christianity without having an inward transformation? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
It can happen.
So we are praying for them. We are recognizing that that could happen. It could have happened to me, where I am satisfied with the counterfeit. But one thing about counterfeits is that's what it is. It's a counterfeit. And like Jesus would use this phrase, you come on, I am the true vine. The true vine in John 15, I am the door, I am the living water, the real water, I am the real way, the living way, I am the way, the truth, the life. So, in other words, there are counterfeits, but they're not the real thing. So, once somebody on the phone said, I found it, I found Christ, the search is over, it ended, I'm finished, I'm not looking anymore. I found him. He's the answer. He's what I've been. He's the Alpha and the Omega. I found him. He's the real thing, you know. So the counterfeit people don't really talk like that.
That's right.
But the people that find Christ, they just say, oh, wow, it's satisfying. It's over. It's done. He saved me. I'm growing in him.
Yeah. And as you said, there's nothing more satisfying than that in life.
Yeah.
Well, friends, thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Next up tomorrow, our next parable, Laborers in the Vineyard. We hope that you'll join us for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Thanks for being with us today. So until tomorrow, in a little less than 24 hours, we'll be back. You can join us live then.